You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Another amazing Cooligans episode coming your way.
Let's go. We're just letting you know right up top, all right, that you're about to be entertained.
Yo, in fact, you probably entertained right this moment.
You're like, yo, this is already so entertaining. They're already telling me I'm going to be entertained while I'm being entertained.
Amazing. I just heard an ad for a razor, maybe. I don't know what happens before our show starts. And now, boom, I'm entertained.
They're ads. We got ads before the show, baby.
And the ads are...
Pre-rolls, they call them.
And ads entertaining as well.
Jargon. Little industry jargon from
pre-rolls,
Alexis.
Those are probably what you're buying at, at the dispensary, bro.
I'm just going to legalize it. Let's go.
Unless you listen in Iowa or something.
What's good, everybody?
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We out here with a jam-packed show. Obviously, we're going to talk about...
It's too much!
The Lionel Messi show, or not lack of a show. We're going to talk, a little Premier League, but we have an incredible guest today.
He's going to have to change his name.
Well, to what?
Because his incredible. His name is Kev on stage, but he's going to have to be Kev on Cooligans. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I'm the Cooligans today.
Kev on stage will be with us in just a moment. Obviously, a hilarious comedian. You've seen him on social media, but he is now a new footy fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
We talk about it.
We have the our rule is if you are a comedian...
We didn't so much as bring up the sports soccer.
You are on. We also have to respect you a little bit.
Yeah.
If you follow all those parameters, then you are welcome on this program. So Kev on stage will be joining us in a little bit. He's a big Manchester United fan, so we're going to be talking a lot about his club as well.
Also, I'm going to let you peek behind the curtain. When Christian said we have to respect you a little bit, that means a certain comic popped into his brain that has referenced soccer. He's like, that person will never do our show. So I, after the show, will find out who it is.
That's right. Look, I don't care how much Louis C.K. supports Luton Town.
Or Carrot Top, who, by the way, has done nothing wrong. But we don't respect you. No, I'm kidding. Carrot Top is great. Legend.
Anyway, a lot to go over today, but let's immediately start with Atlanta United hosting Inter Miami because
we didn't get the memo from Tim Cook and Don Garber, you know?
Yo, did you not get the notification on your iPhone?
I feel like all your coworkers have been talking about this. You do not beat Inter Miami.
Okay.
You can draw. That's the most you can do when Messi's not there.
I think Arthur Black needs to go to the Genius Bar and get his phone, his Apple devices fixed, bro.
Arthur Black looks like he definitely uses an iPhone 3G. You know?
Bro, and he's Arthur
like,
Black
it's fine.
Why are you trying to call us on your iPod Nano?
Damn. He's got a scroll. Just hear ye, 100%. Hear ye, Arthur Blank.
My guy got an iPad Max up to his ear right now going, I can't hear.
You're a billionaire, Arthur.
Hey, dog.
So we were all told, right, because Lionel Messi did his press conference, right? And he was asked, are you going to play on turf? Are you going to play on these games? He's like, yeah, I played on turf.
He didn't say yes or no. He goes, I played on turf when I was a kid.
I've been playing on turf my entire life.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like if someone goes, hey, who's this person on your phone named Teddy sending you lingerie pics? And you're like, I've used phones my entire life. Are you kidding me?
Okay, I have all the apps. Okay, I use them all.
Why would you even bring that up? I've had a phone even back when they were stuck to the wall. I used the phone.
I'm very familiar with phones. This is, I can't tolerate this disrespect.
I don't have to be here right now.
He said, he's like, yeah, turf. I played on turf. I was a kid.
I knew her. I knew him.
Yeah, turf.
So So we all
Broke with that kid.
We on the international in the international break, he skips the game against against Bolivia.
Well, he goes.
What happened?
He goes to the game. He don't play.
He doesn't play. He doesn't
actually,
even dress.
I think he was listed as a coach. He was listed as an assistant coach so he could sit on the really? Certain part of the bench. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But he did not play.
He didn't play.
No. Why go if you're not going to play?
Yeah.
You know?
The thought was, oh, because he is skipping this game and he left early in the first game was mm-hmm. against... Because
he felt something,
okay? Yeah,
bored, I think is what he felt.
He left in the 88th minute. Everybody was concerned. Yeah. And then he doesn't play against Bolivia. So it's all shaping up to... He's about to...
Oh, this kid's going to body
Atlanta. About to go to Atlanta, go to the Benz, put on a show for the 70,000 folks that...
They opened up the upper bowl.
Paid a fair amount of money to go see the, you know, the Barcelona show.
Psych!
Gotcha!
Oh, you thought!
And Lionel Messi doesn't play. Jordi Alba doesn't... he's on the bench and doesn't end up playing in this game. And this felt like... look, all the reports and all the comments after the game is basically everybody saying... and Tata Martino, the coach of Inter Miami, saying, "Oh, we're focusing on U.S. Open Cup, and you know, which that final is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, or next week?
No, the 27th is the final.
Is that not next week?
No, it's not next week. That is
pretty sure that's next week.
27th is next Wednesday.
Next week, dog. Wednesday. Okay, well, more so than like 7 days.
Nine days.
Yeah. Anyway, so but this was honestly, this felt like." Bro, he should play in this game. This was a marquee game in the biggest crowd he would have played in front of in Major League Soccer.
Right.
I
have a hot take, though. He ain't going to defend, bro. It would not stop the onslaught.
No, so I honestly, my answer there, or my response to that is Jordi Alba not playing is probably, that's why they gave up 5 goals.
Yeah, because their backline have always been dusty.
Yes.
Inter Miami's been bad. Without Jordi Alba, that's a big drop.
It's a big drop.
And Christoph played at Ukraine against
I would argue
Italy
that Inter Miami are still not that great a defensive team. But with Jordi Alba, with Busquets, with Messi, they just have the ball so much more that they have to defend less.
And DeAndre Yedlin also had a bad game, which doesn't help. Or didn't have on par with the way he's been playing since Messi got there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a big... But shouts to Atlanta, bro.
Yeah, man.
They were like, yo, we gonna stun on them, bro.
That was... look, and Atlanta has had a very, very up and down season. They lost 4-0 to Miami in Leagues Cup. So I think a lot of people kind of expected something similar. But they looked really sharp. And you're seeing their new players. Muyumba, who scored the first goal, which I don't even know if that went in. If you MLS posted the angle from behind the goal, that ball didn't go in.
Is that the one that Drake Callender had his hand on?
Yeah. Hit the post, and they called it a goal so fast, and like it wasn't clearly and obviously in to call it a goal.
No,
and then but because they called it a goal, they couldn't change the call because there was no clear and obvious evidence, unless the social media admin that works for MLS, who's behind the goal, if you could use that camera.
Right.
That would have been the clear and obvious evidence.
I mean, can we just get goal line technology already?
Yeah,
be helpful.
This feels like that one of those moments.
We need to upgrade a lot in the league, you know, now that Messi's here. Remember when Beckham came in, he's like, Comfort Plus. Nah.
You know? Oh, you offered me 3 inches of leg room?
Yeah.
Well, how kind of you?
You're asking me what my status is? My status is I'm David fucking Beckham. Okay.
It's a little bit better than Diamond, yeah, I promise. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not scanning nothing to get in the lounge, bro.
I'm looking for this goal because I want to show it, but damn, I don't know. Somebody reposted it. They just asked the question. MLS had it was like goal or no goal. I can't find it.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, it was a goal.
I was gonna say the game is honestly not the most important part. I'm more interested in talking about the Messi stuff. Messi not playing. Messi getting roasted on social media, or I guess Inter Miami getting roasted on social media after the game.
I mean, the
comeback was hefty.
I mean, look at.
But you got to stunt. You got to flex when it's your time to go.
So I mean,
you body the hottest team in this. hemisphere.
Look at this. We're blocking the thing, but look at the caption on this tweet. It's obviously just the final score, 5-2 for Atlanta over Inter Miami. But the caption.
Bro, I am so proud.
On this tweet, on this X, on this Zeet, whatever we want to call it.
I am so proud that Atlanta is going to be the home of U.S. soccer moving forward.
That's right.
Because we're going to get admins like this who get the vibes we going for, bro.
All right, we're
going
to have...
Future is going to flirt with Berhalter's wife. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The U.S. soccer's social media admin academy will be based in Atlanta.
And let me tell you something. The U-35s really are going to just bring the social media admin-ness to the next level. Tell them. Now, please tell them like the regular admins would do. Now, tell them to bring the whole squad next time. Pull up.
Bro, we don't recognize these fools. Who is this? I don't know. We don't see them.
We say you and your mans, not just your mans.
Where's your guys? The guys that were on the poster.
Yeah. Where the big dogs at, bro?
I think I mentioned this last week, but just this is a fun part of just the fact that LAFC tried to do this, right? They did the banter before the game.
Nah, you can't
do the banter before the game.
Post win,
you gotta make sure you edit them. Yeah. You do all the graphics.
Write it beforehand.
The graphics team is on board. Yeah. Do what you got to do.
You write it beforehand, but you leave it in the draft. Okay. And you write a couple for different scenarios.
But Atlanta, this is a fun part of the fact that there is banter, even with Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi is not above the banter.
No. In fact, he's a good cause of the ban.
I was going to say, it feels like all the teams are going extra hard at Inter Miami on social media because of Messi.
Right, because it's just...
You mentioned Messi and the numbers go up. You roast Messi the numbers.
The Cooligans talk about Messi. Our podcast numbers do better. Okay? Yeah, so, we're all in on it together.
We're 100% on board. We read the memo. Don Garber and Tim Good.
Sometimes you consume a lot of media and you're like, why is everybody talking about Messi? Why are the Cooligans also talking about... Yeah, well, now you know.
Yeah. Okay? All right. Get to the top, bro.
But this is,
one of the highest levels, and even to do it in Spanish, bro.
Bro, they got the Spanish account.
They woke up Vamos Atlanta United account. Okay. They said, yo, Levanta, bro. It's our time, bro.
And they
had to reset the password. I guarantee you, they ain't used this in months.
So
bro.
We all saw, if you watch Morning Footy or if you saw, on social media, Lionel Messi posted that picture of his pizza.
He posted a video of him opening the
pizza from Banchero in Miami.
Yeah, which is another location from the original.
Yes,
place that invented this style.
Okay,
in Buenos Aires.
So some people were fans of it. Most were not.
He said, "Thank you to my people," and everyone was like, "We don't like your people."
And
I had to defend it a little bit.
Yeah. Please go watch. You can see it on our Twitter on CBS Sports Golazo. But go see Alexis's breakdown.
I tried my hardest to kind of give you like a little bit of a background of why this pizza looks the way it does and why it's called the pizza. I do agree with a lot of people. This isn't my favorite style of pizza.
Right. I mean, just to highlight, the pizza that we're looking at right now.
This is not the original. I'd eat this one before.
It's not the original one, but this is...
They clearly took some of the tomatoes off of the other pie and put it on a very generic looking...
Pizza pie. So they photoshopped it, but they shaped the tomatoes and all the vegetables as an L. Yeah. So it's an L pizza.
Hit the translate post so people could see, because if you understand it in Spanish...
Yes, in Spanish it says, acá tienen su pizza para el viaje. And then in English it says... Here you have your pizza for the trip.
For your trip back. Got you. Here you go. Here's your pizza for the trip back.
Okay.
And it's shaped as an L. I mean, this is just
so you don't go hungry.
Level.
So you don't go hungry in your flight. Okay? Yeah.
You know what? I heard that when you cry, you like to eat. And we made you cry, but now we're going to give you the food to eat. This is, remember when we started in 2015? Remember that? Pterodactyls were flying in the sky.
it was a different time, okay?
The meme for me when I saw this was Michael Jordan holding the thing crying, and it's the lyrics to Dreams and Nightmares. It said, I used to dream for time like this. We used to dream of banter like this, bro. Yeah,
this is well done. This is just an example of like, we're not going to give too much reverence.
No.
We're gonna have fun with the fact that who knows how long Messi's gonna be here. But
this is very like what was that, Black Panther, when he's like, "Is this your king?" Or whatever he says, "This is your leader." That's the moment right there.
But
bro.
The reason I love this so much is because it's banter, and some people are gonna be like, "Yo, how you gonna disrespect Messi and all this other stuff?" But
it's America, bro. We don't show reverence.
But this is why. Messi, maybe he won't, maybe who knows why he didn't play this specific game. Was it the turf? Was it he needed rest?
Was it that we were making fun of his pizza?
But there's no way Messi doesn't see the discourse and say, "All right, next year when we playing at the Benz, let's see what my goal celebration about to be." Okay. So I know, it's a little banter back and forth, but this is just a little poke at Messi. Like, yo, this is why you need to show up. Because maybe this doesn't happen.
In fact, we should probably ask the question, is it unfair to the fans? Because, again, they opened the upper bowl. I heard numbers of $800 to $1,000 for some of them tickets. Is it unfair to the fans? And for everyone right now, I'm looking over here, right? For everyone right now on the internet who's about to start typing your comment, I don't think it's unfair. So just relax. I'm simply asking the question. A lot of people paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Do you think possibly that he at least should have showed up and just, give a little wave?
Yeah, right. So Paulo Mauro tweeted this out, and he made the comparison to Pele. Pele didn't play in every game when he was in NASL, but he traveled with the team, showed up, did a nice little wave, said hi, thank you for buying your tickets. Sorry, I ain't playing, but it is what it is. Maybe he was dealing with injury or whatever. So is it unfair? No, it's not about fairness, because I don't think, I think the rational choice is like, you hear Messi's going to play, you buy your ticket, because who knows when you're going to get
it. And you're buying a ticket. Speculative.
Yeah, you don't know. Play. Like anything.
There could be a big injury the day before, something wild.
This happens in the NBA all the time where like the
but they're putting in rules.
Low balance. Yeah.
The NBA is actually putting in rules to not let you rest your stars.
Exactly. But they say you have to be of a certain age to be able to do load balancing, essentially. So like players that are over 35 have a certain amount of years in the league, they're allowed. They're basically like the grandpa clause. Yeah. They're like, okay, abuelo, we'll let you take a break. Just a couple times a year.
Actually, the NBA is the grandpa, because remember, when I was a kid, I used to tell my grandfather I was tired. He's like, "You ain't old enough to be tired." That's what they're saying, bro. Load management? Nah, son.
So, look, I think this is, I forgot what point I was making about the load. About the risk and it being unfair.
It's an investment.
It's an investment. It's a risk.
Yeah.
We've all bought Bitcoin. We all bought like Ethereum. All right. It's a risk you take.
And some would say if you're an Atlanta United fan, you got entertained. Messi wasn't there. You saw five
without
goals.
Without a doubt.
And I know anything, we've been in the Benz when Atlanta scores. It is a full fiesta.
The train horn and everything.
They had a whole reggaeton concert before the final. It's a party town.
It's so incredibly interesting. So it is what it is. You still got to see Busquets, right? I mean,
hey, Busquets was there.
that was pretty cool.
No, Jordan, but Pippen's here. Everybody.
Yo, is that Steve Kerr playing? Let's go.
Yeah, it is Luke Longley. Thank you for asking.
Tony Kukoc. I love it. So look, it is what it is. It's a risk you take. But as far as Messi, he went to his son's academy game
in them shorts.
In them jorts,
bro. Did you see this?
Them rolled up jorts.
My guy said, "We're not wearing tight jeans anymore. I'm not throwing them out. I'm cutting them at the knee. I'm rolling them up. They're shorts now, bro."
Yeah, so that was cool to see Messi at his...
You know who would disagree? Atlanta United.
So look, he's just like us.
Yeah.
He's just going to... He's being being a soccer dad.
Remember when you came to watch me play in jorts? Oh my
gosh, bro. So I think that's it's a risk you take. It is what it is. It sucks, but at least Atlanta United, probably if they lost, it probably would have hurt a lot more.
Yeah.
So look, maybe next time. The one thing I'm waiting for, I'm hoping that he does play on turf at some point. That's really, it would be disappointing if we never got to see him play at the Benz or even against the Sounders. These NFL stadiums will fill up to go see him. And I would like to kind of experience that one.
Bro, NFL, step your game up. Switch to grass, bro.
Yo, I think
Chicago. Chicago plays on grass.
Yeah, yeah, he's gonna play at Soldier Field. It's gonna be, and they need to win that game, especially because they're very close in the playoffs.
Bro, Soldier Field filled.
Bro,
that would be huge.
Bigger than Bears crowds right now, bro.
Yeah, facts.
All right.
Urlacher's excited.
Look.
End of my Chicago Bears reference.
We are, summer's closing out. Just a couple more days.
It feels like fall outside.
It does. We're getting the rain in New York City. But yeah, I'm excited about the fall because it'll give us a time. The relaxing is different in the fall than it is, in summer.
Well, we're part of the fall right now where not even the weather app helps you dress for what's about to happen outside. In fact, it would be so much better if I could look outside and see a little blue mountain. Okay? When it's the perfect time to put on a sweater or a jacket.
Mm-hmm. The Coors Light is going to be your best meteorologist right now. So
make sure. You know what you do? You leave the can outside.
Okay?
And when it's cold enough, the little mountain turns blue. You could drink it, which is quite nice. And now you know what to wear on the walk to work.
Okay? Wear your cardigan. You could use it. The fall, obviously, with Champions League making its return.
Champions League. We are the champions. It's back, baby.
It's back. It starts tomorrow, so it's a good opportunity.
What do you think of Everton's chance? All right, that's a joke.
chance for the players to watch Champions League? Oh, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. In fact, hey, why don't we send some Coors Light to the players? they could use it. They need to chill, bro.
So Coors Light is the one the cooligans choose when we need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Let's go. All right. We have to get to our chat with Kev on stage. Again, hilarious comedian. We have a great conversation about his club that's in absolute, it's just imploding.
It's in the mud, bro.
we try to give him as much counseling and therapy.
And also find out why his decision to pick that club will probably not work in hockey.
So here it is. Here's our conversation with Kev on stage.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
When we say illustrious guests, we mean from all parts, all sides of entertainment.
That's right.
It's not just sports.
not just sports, but anytime we even get a sniff of a comedian that just sniff a comedian. No, if you get a sniff of a comedian,
we smell comics. is what we're trying to say.
These grim rooms be stinking sometimes.
It's a little funky. We need to see who wears deodorant and who doesn't.
We all been there in the comedy condo,
bro.
Because
do I not smell like this green room? But the reason we say stars from all over is because, dude, Cooligans, we on the up, okay?
Uh-huh.
When you find out this guest that we have, this is gonna blow your mind.
Exactly.
Because this dude is hilarious on everything.
Dude,
YouTube, TikTok.
But you know what? You see the strategy because the Twitter strategy ain't the same as the TikTok strategy.
No, this dude is thinking on another level. We're not thinking this way.
I'm inspired by him, and I'm glad that he is just a fan of footy as well.
I don't know whether should we give the government, should we give the internet name?
No,
I'm going to just say, Kev on stage, everybody.
The brand.
Doing a soccer clap.
Very nice.
It's soccer slash golf clap. It's a little bit more.
We got look, we'll get into your career because obviously you have an incredible one and you're doing such amazing things. But let's talk about mistakes. You're wearing a Manchester United jersey.
Okay.
We start there.
What? Well,
I'll tell you why. I was following the sport, and I had jerseys of, like, all the Premier League. I had, like, a Chelsea jersey. I had a United jersey. I had jerseys of all over. And people were like, bro, you cannot be a real fan unless you choose a team, right?
Right.
So I'm watching the World Cup in 2018, and France was balling. I remember Lukaku was playing well with Belgium. Rashford played well with London, so I'm looking for a new team to support with no background. I didn't do any research. I was like, I'm just going to go from now.
Yeah. We could tell because you just said London played in the World Cup, which I love.
Not England.
England. England.
Yeah.
No, a lot of residents of London would agree with you, bro.
Yeah. So when I found out Rashford, Lukaku, and Pogba all played for the same team and they're black, I was like, this is my team now. I didn't do any research. I already had a United jersey. It was one of the teams of jerseys that I already had. So when I found out they all played for the same team, I was like, great, this is my team. And it's been hell ever since that moment.
Yeah. Welcome to the sport. What I do want to know is, all right, so you haven't been a soccer fan that long, but you have been long enough, or at least I'll let you answer. Have you been long enough to find out that as a United fan, you kind of missed the glory years, dude?
Oh,
you
got God.
Right at the end, bro.
I was just thinking.
Bro, you pulled up to Rome as it was falling.
I was literally trying to think. I was like, am I a Cowboys fan after Jimmy Jones? Right. Am I a Patriots fan post Tom Brady? Like, it's gonna be a while before they challenge for the league. Like, and I'm like, oh, I'm looking on Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, they won championship. They won a lot. And then I realized it's so hard to win the league. Like, it's so hard to win the league. So it's probably going to be a good while. Which the only good thing about that, I think that's where true sports fandom is born. It's in the pain. Because people are like, you should have chose Liverpool or Man City because they were winning. I'm like, I knew I wasn't going to pick Man City because they were already winning. And I couldn't be a person that just joined a team that was winning. Liverpool was the best thing that God created. When I started, Van Dijk, is he better than Pate? I mean, he was the best defender ever. He was the child. Yeah. He was the son of God. He's aerial duels. His aerial duels. I was like, dog.
Bro. This is the discourse. I love the way you're talking about this because this is, you know, I'm sure even in you speaking this way about soccer and about football, the discourse is a little bit different. Like the fact that there is no playoffs, right, in the Premier League. There is no playoffs. Yeah. It is just you win the league or you do not. And then there's consolation prizes for the rest for the rest of the teams. But can you talk about just being a non-soccer sports fan and then now being a soccer fan?
Well, what is your main sport? Let's start there. Did you have a biggest fandom?
Oh, I'm a huge. I'm a sports fan. So college football, NFL, NBA. I probably watched all of them my entire life. So equally well versed in those three sports. Not a huge baseball fan. Aware of hockey, but I realized probably not much at all. Like, I knew the best players, Gretzky, you know. I used to play the hockey game, but, like, NFL, college, and NBA are the
best. Yeah, I have a feeling your strategy of finding the best black players might not work in hockey.
You know what I mean?
My man, P.K. Subban.
Yeah, you got one.
I'm aware. I know Subban.
My man, come on. There's also Jerome Iginla, bro, from the Calgary Flames.
We shouldn't be counting. Yeah. All right, I'm going to let that go. We shouldn't be counting.
One of them had some crime, though. I can't remember, but one of them had some crime.
Oh, I don't know. No, P.K. didn't do anything, right?
I don't know. Allegedly.
But even the discourse of, like, NFL, NBA, like, it's like, yo, we could have a rough season, but playoffs, like, we're going to turn things around. But now that you're watching Premier League, you're watching Manchester United, the difference, especially being that every single game is a playoff game, essentially.
Absolutely.
You have to deliver.
It reminds me of college football, my college football fandom before the BCS playoff situation. Like, it felt like every game matters. Strength of schedule doesn't matter in Premier League, but in college, it was like if you lose one game, you're not going to be national champion. Only certain teams usually are going to bubble to the top. So it reminds me of, like, right before the playoffs, you're like Alabama, like when UW won in like 1990 and they split it with Miami. You almost had to go undefeated or lose one game maybe to be considered. And, like, so that's why I know, like, Manchester United, they lost the first. When they lost that second game, I was like, all right, bet. That's a wrap. Like, it's over with, bro. It's like,
you're caught up.
38 games, and it's like, that's a wrap, bro.
You might only be here. You might only be here since 2018, but you caught up. You get the vibe.
Right? Because I watched Arsenal last year. Arsenal was number one the whole, like, I'd say 80-85% of the campaign. And I remember they lost their first game, and I followed Jessica tweets. She's a black Arsenal supporter. She tweets a lot about them. And they lost one game. They're like, 8 games ago, she was like, the title's over. I was like, dang, they're still at the top of the table. So that's when I knew, like, if you're not undefeated at the top of the table in the first 6 games or matches, it's a wrap for you, bro. You might as well chalk it up till next season or go for the Carabao Cup, baby. Carabao Cup, we still got a chance.
Yeah, he's like, Carabao Cup, it's the only trophy we care about. We don't want that stanky league, man. We had that already.
You had to. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but I love, you know, following you for a while. It's dope seeing the growth, the transition into the sport. And then you recently tweeted out about Manchester United, and you were basically like, yo, is this what I signed up for every week? Or basically my weekend's gonna be ruined by this team.
Yeah.
What is the emotional roller coaster now? And how is it different from other sports when watching this team struggle or watching them lose from time to time?
So man, it's really hard to describe, right? So I'm a Seahawks fan too, and I was a Seahawks fan when they sucked and they sucked and they sucked and then they were good. Yeah. And they sucked, and now they're doing okay now. And same thing, I'm a Texas college football fan, and they won the national championship and then, like, fell into the doldrums. I feel like supporting a soccer team, it's like other sports, there's joy and a little dread. Soccer is dread with a little dread. It's just like...
Has it ever been said more perfectly and poetically?
That is
what an exact. I mean, my whole life.
Put it.
It's just been delivered to me in a sentence.
Kev, put it on a T-shirt.
My G.
So the last game prior to Brighton, like, I know Arsenal is a better team right now and they're in better form, but like Man United was playing well and then they score a goal, VAR takes it away, and then it's like bang, 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 and it's 3-1, 2 goals in extra time. And I'm just like, what happened, man? It was like, dog, we were right there. And then yesterday, I woke up late, and it's 3-1 Brighton. And I'm just like.
Yeah.
You look at that scoreline.
That's the first thing. Like, when you're on the West Coast, that game starts 5, 6 a.m. You wake up at 7:30. Yeah. Your team lost. A 20-game unbeaten streak is over. And I'm just like. My day is 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I haven't even had my eggs.
Bro, in England, they don't get it. I'm like, do you have any idea how hard it is to be disappointed during your Count Chocula? Do you have any idea how hard that is to go about the rest of
You're
the day
You're ruining my Frankenberry, bro. What are you doing?
I didn't even get the bacon or the egg on the cheese yet. And you've already ruined my day. I haven't put the ketchup and the hot sauce on this thing yet. Bro, this is disturbing. Wild, I got to ask you, someone who watches a lot of American sports. Now, I know you moved around a lot as a kid. Do you have a place that you consider home, like that you probably connect with the most from your travels early on?
Not really. That's one of the drawbacks of being a military brat. Like, home is wherever you are. So I would probably say Washington feels the most like home because I was there from 16 to 29. So I was born in El Paso, raised there. Then we bounced around a lot. So Washington feels like home, but my family moves from there. So it doesn't really feel like home the way most people feel like home. But I feel like landmark-wise, sports-wise, I still follow all the Northwest teams in the Pac-12 and all that stuff. So I would say Washington probably feels the most like home.
So you're a Seahawks fan, Texas fan for college basketball. Do you have a basketball NBA team?
So after the Sonics left, I couldn't bring myself to support another team. I couldn't support the OKC Thunder. So I've just been a free agent, just enjoying the sports. Wherever LeBron James goes, I go there. But other than that,
I was gonna say we got to make you a Knicks fan next. You want to talk about pain?
No.
Want to talk about pain?
Knicks. That's what the Knicks. That might be the closest thing to it. That's what I know. I don't want. I just follow the NBA, but after the Sonics left, I won't be a basketball fan until the Sonics get a team again.
All right. So of all the sports you follow. And not one of them do you buy a player.
How hard was that to understand? Because I know as a child, I was like, what you mean buy a player?
What you mean buy people?
Let me tell you what's the worst part. As a black man, the worst in buying a player is when he's bad, they're just like, sell him. Sell Lukaku. Get Lukaku out of here. Sell him. Let's buy Sancho. What you mean buy Sancho?
Yeah.
You can sign Sancho.
Yeah.
Buy Sancho.
You can what enter you into an agreement with Sancho.
Buy Sancho if he wants to be sold?
You know? Man, what are you talking about buy him? And that's a real quick aside. Let me tell you the worst part about being a United fan. The people we get is supposed to be excited for, they come and they never pan out. They don't. Sancho, I think he was at Borussia Dortmund before.
Yeah, yeah.
He's great on the wing, blah, blah, blah. He comes here, doesn't pan out. Casemiro, Champions League, Madrid, without Casemiro, they don't win. He has the first good season, but I can tell now he's much older now. Eriksen, I remember watching him a couple years ago. He was solid. He comes here, he's balding. He just like, bro,
he died at one point, dog.
I didn't want to say that because I didn't know what this podcast was.
There's a moratorium on how hard you go at Christian Eriksen.
No, hey, it's facts. The dude died.
He did die.
Bro, Kev,
Kev,
I do a show on TV in the morning, same channel, same network as Aaron. And I was trying to find, you know, comedians when they hire us. We have the way our brain works, and then we have the way we speak to general society, you know?
Yeah.
On TV, I realized, man, I'm live. I can't mess this up. So I was going to say, I'm like, bro, your midfielder died already. I didn't want to say that. So I said, bro, your midfielder passed away already, which, by the way, is worse. It's worse. I got in trouble for not saying died already because I said he passed away.
Yeah.
I thought that was – I'm working against a lot. English is my second language. Y'all got to give me some. I'm trying to figure out the right way to talk.
You had to say with all due respect before you said that sentence. That's what you feel.
With all due respect, you bought a zombie.
But this is the thing. Manchester United are obviously one of the most popular clubs in the world. One of the most scrutinized.
So but it's for everything they did before Kev became a fan.
It's not their fault. They're a victim of their own success, right? So the fans are expecting nothing but that. So that's why the scrutiny is so high. Like, I mean, you're talking about you mentioned Paul Pogba before. We were talking about him last week. And it's like, and with everything going on with Jadon Sancho, Sancho's left off the squad. And then now everybody's sort of taking sides. Basically, the club that you chose is so wildly dysfunctional where people don't know whether to blame the managers, the players, the fans, the owners.
Blazers out, man. Blazers out, man. Get them out of here. Give me the Saudis. Give me oil money and corruption. Give me $1 billion. I don't care anymore, bro. Give me corruption.
Yeah. My guy's like, I signed up for one. I need one chip. Give me one chip on this
game. I don't want cheap owners, bro. Give me. But, bro, honestly, the club is really poorly handled. Like, the whole Mason Greenwood thing, like, it's like they mishandle every single thing. Like, how you going to be like, what y'all think if we would keep him? You can't do that, bro.
You can't even ask, yo.
You know what I'm saying? Like, can you imagine? We talked to some women. They said it was like they weren't tripping. What y'all think? Like, bro, are you dead serious? Yeah. Like, right
what
now?
What he did was so wrong, he even got Kev going, sell this man.
And I used to watch him in the academy. Like, I watched that when I was really in. I would watch academy highlights. Like, let me watch the other people. So, shout out to Hannibal. He scored
against Brighton.
But, like, bro, if you're a terrible person, just get out of here. I'd rather lose with decent people than try to. You'll never have me apologizing for, oh, but you know what I'm saying? His what they have. Like, bro, just let us lose with dignity and honor. <You know?
laughs> Well put. Yeah.
We wholeheartedly agree on this here show.
I love the passion. This is great. What's been, as far as, you know, you have a big following, a big audience. I mean, you know, I love the, not only just the social commentary, dude, the way I sort of think of you, you're like my talk soup, right? Like, I go to you when it's like there's something, a viral moment, something fun happens. I'm like, yo, what's Kev's take on this? But what's the been the response of you just talking about soccer now? Because I know sometimes, you know, we've dealt with this with other comedians. We're like, when we started this podcast, people were like, yo, you're going to talk about soccer? There's going to be like six people listening. Nobody's going to care. But what's been the feedback from you talking about the sport now?
So it's really interesting, right? The majority of my fan base doesn't know because they're not on Twitter. So if you travel the world, this is not a flex. This is just what I've seen. If you travel the world, you can easily see soccer is the biggest sport ever. Right. So I was in St. Lucia one time. I went in Egypt and I saw the amount of Salah jerseys and people watching in like little shops in St. Lucia. Arsenal fans, Liverpool fans. Our guide on like a volcano tour was a Liverpool fan and his boy was an Arsenal fan. So when we're pulling up, it's like eight dudes around talking about Liverpool and Arsenal. And I'm like, you wouldn't see NFL conversations like that. So that's one thing. It's easily the biggest sport in the world, not the United States, but the world. The second thing is only on Twitter do I talk about it, because that's the only place to really have the conversations. And I found out a lot more people than I realized follow the sport, like way more people than I realized. And people have been following 20 years ago. Like, it really wasn't accessible nor talked about in America when I was a kid. Like, it was never on SportsCenter. I never remember games or anything like that. I was like, how was y'all watching these games? They was like, man, satellite. We was using the internet. Like, so I think it's been really interesting how many people already follow sport, how many people are surprised that an American is like following it. And like, the one thing I hate is like, call it football. Like, listen, in different countries, people have different words for stuff. Just enough. Like, you know what we're talking about. Just, it's not that uncommon for a country to have a different word for something. Well, you know what we're talking about. So I think that's one thing. And then the people are so passionate. Like, if your team wins, they're the greatest team ever. If they lose, the clouds are shining. People talk so much trash. I love the discourse. And also, people are finding out every day. I've been pretty consistently tweeting about Manchester United since 2019. Every time I tweet that I'm watching, people are like, you a soccer fan? Hi, and why you pick United? Like, I have to answer those questions over and over. So I think it's been really interesting. And how many people I follow I didn't know talked about it. They be really in. Like, Aaron, I didn't realize. I just followed as many people as I could who were funny and engaging. But some of these people be really in the industry. Like, he be in Italy. He be on talking about champions.
We go to Germany. We've been to Germany a bunch of times for games. We've been to Paris. It's wild. Like, when we can't. Honestly, I can't even believe we're in the studio doing any of this, bro. Yeah. It's just like we were just doing open mics a couple years ago. It's crazy.
It's wild. I mean, I really love how much the sport has grown. The one thing that I kind of hate about following so late is like missing out on the primes of like Messi, Ronaldo, R9. Like, people talk about them with such revere. And I was watching sports at the time. I just wasn't watching them. And by the time I caught on, like, Messi's still dope, but most people admit he's past his prime, you know, from like 5-10 years ago. So I wish I could have saw him play. But, you know, I was watching Randy Moss and, you know what I'm saying, Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders. Yeah. I mean, I ain't tripping.
Yeah, you got to see some excellence. That's all good.
The other thing I want to ask you, in a bunch of videos, you're wearing a Columbus Crew jersey as well. So where's that connection?
So I hadn't found an MLS team to support. Okay. I was going to choose the Seattle Sounders. I just didn't connect. I don't know what it was. I just didn't connect. I was thinking about Atlanta because they were popping. They had, I think his name is Joseph Martinez. He had the blonde hair.
He's in Miami now.
He was
the
guy. But one of the guys from the Columbus Crew, he came to my show. His name escapes me real quick.
Ty
Phillips.
Oh, Ty, yeah.
Yeah. We know Ty.
Yeah, Ty. He was like, yo, if you don't got a team yet, like, pull up on the Columbus Crew. He came to one of my shows in Cleveland. He gave me the jersey, and I was like, I'm in. I have the connection now. And they had a black dude that was good. So
They got a few.
Yeah, they got a few black dudes that are good. So I chose my team. I haven't really watched many matches yet, but that's my team if we win.
Okay. Don't ever make a decision based on having been in Cleveland, though. I'm just going to... That's not the place to make lifelong decisions. Were you at Pickwick and Frolic at Hilarities?
No, I was at, we did at a theater, actually. We were at, I think, the Mimi Ohio Theater in Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland's a dope town. Shouts to Pickwick and Frolic. It's a great club. I do want to ask you about, I know you don't have an NBA team, But we talk a little bit about these competitions. You mentioned Carabao Cup. There's going to be an in-season competition in the NBA.
Yes.
We once asked Gilbert Arenas what he thought. And he said, no, that's good, because all the people we don't want to pass the ball to, that'll be their competition. Which is, it's the same as a lot of people saying. They're disrespecting it. They're saying they don't want it. As someone who understands how important it is to have a secondary chance for a trophy, what are your thoughts on the in-season play-in tournament?
I love it. I think it's a genius idea. That's the one thing I like about soccer that I also hate. You get a chance to lose in four different tournaments. You don't just get to lose the league. You can lose the league. You can lose the Carabao Cup. You can lose the League Cup. And you can get bounced out of the Champions or the Europa League. So it's pain all over. Usually in most sports, you know if your team's got a chance at the championship or the playoffs about halfway through the season. And if they don't, you're like, all right, you know what I'm saying? It's whatever. But in soccer, you get a chance to – like Man United won the Carabao Cup, and I realize it's lower on the totem pole, but – teams like Tottenham haven't won that at all. So it's either means something or doesn't. But when you say a team hasn't done it, people keep saying that they haven't won no trophy. So I think it's great for the sport.
Kev, this is what I love about you. You've done your homework. You have studied on the tremendous, the consistency of L's that Tottenham has taken.
Man!
You are well aware.
You understand how important it is to roast Tottenham at all
opportunities. Bro, like, I know United is bad, but it ain't. I'm like, I had to Google it. I mean, I was like, they never won, like, not even the Carabao Cup. Not even that. Nothing.
The last thing they won was the Audi Cup, which doesn't really sound like a preseason thing.
It's like a preseason trophy. Yeah. Which, look, I'm an Everton fan. I don't know what you know about Everton. But
man, Frank Lampard, huh, guys? Huh? He was going to turn it around for us. They were on the edge of relegation last season, weren't they?
Bro, they're edging again on the as well.
Damn.
It's a difficult...
They're edging so much they got to upload the clips on Pornhub, bro.
Bro. It is a frustrating existence. I understand. Like Manchester United fans complaining, I'm like, I wish I could complain like you could complain.
But I never see nobody. Is it because United was? I never see anybody like look at like Chelsea gets a lot of crap, but I don't see people like Everton gets some, but not nearly as much as United.
No, because the expectation is so much higher.
Like, also, you guys went before you became a fan. They went through like an unbelievable era where they were just unstoppable. They were unstoppable in the Premier League. They were unstoppable in Europe for phases. It was just really difficult. Like, I'm an Arsenal fan, so is Aaron. We have this gentleman named Arsene Wenger, who was our manager, the greatest manager we've ever had. And the only problem is that he was our manager during the era Sir Alex Ferguson was United's manager.
Oh.
Bro, it's like being a great quarterback on the year, like in this era that Tom Brady was at the Patriots. You're like, well, yeah, I'm good, but I'm barely getting any love here because this guy's here, you know?
But they had the invincible season, though, man. You got that?
But and they'll remind you every opportunity.
It's all we got. It's all we got, bro. That's like, man. I'm born and raised in Newark. You can say whatever you want. Don't talk about that airport. That's all we got. The airport and Whitney Houston.
Our two crown jewels.
Bro, Shaq gets love, all right? Shaq and Redman. All right, we got four things.
So, all right, I want to talk about your – you're still on tour, right? You're like in the middle of it?
I just have three more dates left. We got the U.S. leg is done, which is kind of crazy to even be able to say. But we got in like 3-4 weeks, we got a date in Berlin, a date in Paris, and a date in London.
Amazing. All right. Yo, so, I mean, anybody listening to this, please go. Is it just kevonstage.com or?
Yep, kevonstage.com.
Okay, yeah. Go get tickets. You do the show. Tony Baker, right, as well?
Yep. Tony Baker to hear more. Brandon Lewis are on this tour. It's a great tour, man. You'll have a good time.
So, yeah, definitely anybody listening, we have a lot of fans in Europe as well. We did stand up in Berlin not too long ago, and it was great. It's a
great town. Everyone understands English. They kind of get our vibe.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of the rest of Germany, where they're like, why are you not just speaking as a spreadsheet? You know? Berlin's a bit more fun.
But I do want to ask just about your journey, your comedy career. I mean, it's been great to see, but I feel like definitely in the last like 5 years is when I'm really, really seeing you a lot and a lot of growth. You have your studio, Kev On Stage Studios and stuff like that. So what's the sort of journey been like? Because I know one thing I really love about you is the transparency. When you put out videos like, yo, we haven't sold out all these seats in Cleveland. Like, yo, y'all people need to get here because I don't know if I can sell out. So what's been that connection with your audience to just get to that point, to find some success, let them see the failure at times? You know, if you could talk about that journey to get to the point that you are now.
I think I've just been building the whole thing on authenticity. Like I had a couple of my, you know, mentors, Hollywood types who were big comedians, were like, why would you say you ain't selling out? Well, man, it's all about the image. And I'm like, bro, people don't care. I say I'm not selling well because when I'm not selling well, I'm really not selling well. And when I say I'm not coming back to the city, if it doesn't sell well, I mean it. And it also helps when I say I am selling well and it's going to sell out and you're going to miss it. People also know that I'm telling the truth. And I'm like, it's funny. It's easier to be honest about. You know, you never want to lie and be like, man, tickets moving fast. And they ain't moving fast because then you pull up and it ain't there. So I think just authenticity has been the key. I think I've been building on like a low and slow type thing. Like I built a fan base. I've never popped like huge. I never had like a video that took me from like 500,000 followers to 2.1 million or whatever. I've just been slowly building and retaining an audience. And I think for that reason, people are more invested in the successes and they're more aware of everything. So like when you're able to go overseas and like London is selling well, I know Berlin and Paris is selling terribly right now, but I've never been to Berlin. So, you know, if it's only 30 people, we're going to have a parent-teacher conference and have a good time. But I'll be able to say I had a show in Berlin.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, it's still amazing to do. Like everything doesn't have to be arena level to be amazing. As a comedian who just wanted a chance to get paid, forget performing anywhere else. I mean, I used to just perform for the love. And I remember the first time I got like $30, I was like, oh my God, I can get gas. I can go to the movies. So to be able to go to Berlin and just like the fact that somebody said, yes, I can do that show and people are buying tickets, that's the win. So obviously, you want to sell out everywhere, but more importantly, I get to do what I love to do for a living. I don't have to work at Boeing anymore and lie and make videos on my break and steal notebooks and stuff. So it's all a win, man. I think I sell out much more than I don't. So it's all good for me.
It's humbling. It's humbling. It's great to see.
Beautiful to see, because as comics, you see some people get plucked out of the scene and you're like, whoa, they did that one thing that took them to on that rocket ship. But to see someone just plug away and get to that point, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted you, because you're really great on social media and I know you're very mindful of this. Like, I remember you even, I should have gotten it, but you had done like a packet or something like for like social media, you were like selling of like how to do social media and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is like 2-3 years ago. And I was like, oh man, I should get that. And I completely forgot about it. But I do want to ask about this because Steve Harvey was in the news. And he had done a video because he was frustrated with his social media team because somebody had tweeted out that they were like, they tweeted out basically saying, yo, what comedians do you think are not funny? And everybody was like, thought it was like a very strange tweet. And then Steve Harvey had to put out like an apology video, like, yo, I would never write that. But what do you think of the fact that their engagement seems to be the most important thing over anything nowadays, that somebody on his team would even put out something like that?
Man, I think in the era of like social media growth, virality, things like that, people choose engagement above all else. And when that's your idea of success, you tend to like keep going like further and further and further and further. It's like, I don't know if y'all remember when Logan Paul went to the suicide forest in Japan and like did that video. And it was like, he didn't realize until after, like, dog, there's gotta be some like borders, like morality wise, there's gotta be some things that you can't do or don't do. And I think for me, I've got kids, I've got morals, I've got things like that. Like, obviously, there's some stuff that works, but there's things I could never personally do. At the end of the day, I got to live in this world. I remember when I worked at the bank, and this is the time where, like, bankers were taking advantage of people and stuff like that and getting, like, crazy loans and people's names and getting bonuses from the bank. I remember being like, I'm not going to do that because I live in this city, and when this goes bad, I don't want to be at the grocery store and somebody wants to pull up on me because I ruined their credit or I got a loan and tricked them. Like, bro, I live here. I might see you at the grocery store. You might, you know, hit me in the head with a bunch of bananas.
But not
bananas, but that might be
you can't be head on a swivel at the produce section.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's like I'd rather build slow or not grow, but be comfortable and be able to stand by everything that I do. And obviously, as a comedian, our job is to find the line and, you know, of too far and not far enough. And that line's ever changing on the internet. So, you know, sometimes I'll cross the line and come back, but very rarely do I do anything that's completely outside of my comfort zone or things I stand for just to get engagement. Cause I just be like, that's just whack and corny to me.
Yeah. As a comedian, I'm like, why would you tweet that? But as a comedian, I'm also like, yo, who'd they say? You know? Yeah.
What they mentioned. Yeah. My name ain't there.
I know, right? You don't do a quick search for Alexis real quick and just see what pops up. I might know some of those people who said it was me.
Yeah, yeah. You have those conversations.
That's the green room.
Yeah, that's the green room. With a comedian you trust.
The green room is the real internet.
Yeah, for real. And you need the green room and you need the group chat. And that's the problem. The internet is people have taken green room group chat conversations and posted them publicly and been surprised that people outside of their circle don't rock with that line of thinking.
Right.
For real. Well, Kev, this has been awesome, man. Yo, dude, you are welcome on this show anytime. If you're ever in New York, feel free to come through the studio. Hit us up. Feel free to use us as a resource. I know you're, like, you know, relatively new to the game. Don't hesitate. If you ever have any questions, want to hit us up, we're happy to help.
And where should people follow you? Because you got a bunch of different places. But what's the most effective for you?
Kev on Stage, whatever platform you're on, just search Kev on Stage. Follow me there. If it's a platform I'm on, you'll find me. If not, you'll see some videos of mine that somebody else has posted, or they're talking crazy about me. Either way, just search my name and you'll find me. What's y'all actual handles? Are y'all just the Cooligans, or what is y'all actual?
Yeah, I'm at Chris Polanco on Twitter, and Not Alexis.
Not Alexis on everything.
Yeah, but at Soccer Cooligans we're all on everything. Right. But I'll reach out and stay in touch, bro. This has been great, and I can highly recommend everybody if you're listening to this or watching this, go follow Kev. Seriously, one of the best follows out on social media right now. Like, really, just incredibly entertaining, informative. The BlackBerry video, the nostalgia is crazy. And even I'm a new father. I have a 5-month-old at home, and you always got great information. You and your wife, great information about marriage, about being a dad. It's all really, really helpful. So I'm honored that you did the show, man. Seriously, I'm a huge, huge fan.
I had a great time, man. I appreciate it. This was a good time. I'm following you guys and the podcast as well, so I can tweet at y'all or learn from y'all or DM y'all and ask y'all, what does inverted fullbacks mean? Because everybody
we'll talk about it. Hey, Tottenham does it.
Okay. We'll look it up first and then tell you, dog. Yeah. Don't worry, we got you.
Also, yo, if you listening to us in Berlin, what's wrong with you? Buy them tickets right now.
go see Kev. Kev, thank you so much, brother. Take care.
All right, sounds good. Y'all be easy.
Shout out to Kev on Stage.
Hey.
The homie, the new homie, bro. I love it to see. I love seeing comedians get involved in the game. And
even the best part, successful comedians get involved in the game.
Sure. Hey, poor comedians, we don't want you anywhere near us.
No broke boys up here. No, but it makes me feel like I'm also successful. You know, right?
You know, you're following the sport that we've dedicated our lives to. It's like, okay.
Rising tides lift all boats now. Come on, tide.
Okay. All right, Kev, please put us on your boat.
Yeah, yo, Kev.
We want to be on your boat.
Lift our boats.
We got schooners here, bro. We need
my guy said schooners, bro.
We need all the help we can get.
Schooner references on this damn show, dog.
So go follow Kev on Stage. Go see him on tour if he is anywhere near your city, your state. KevOnStage.com if you want to get tickets to the tour. Shout out to everybody out in Berlin, Paris, and London as they close out the tour. Shout out to everybody also listening to to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcast.
Hit the download button, please.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network, but yes. Also,
we're on the Roku channel baby.
We're newly on the Roku TV.
That's right.
So if you're watching on Roku, or if you want to consume this show on Roku as well, you want
to flip us put to 254.
Put it on the barbershop. Tell your barber, yo, put on 254.
You got
on
Roku, dog.
Yeah,
put on 254.
They ain't one barbershop. They ain't got a
In
Roku.
In fact, bro, 254. Go play that. In the lottery, bro.
Damn, bro.
If you win, buy us a boat.
Lex is telling you where to invest your money.
We just got schooners, dog.
The lottery is a good investment right now.
Yo, it's on the up, dog.
The returns are great.
Better than crypto.
So shout out to everybody tuning in on YouTube or wherever. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you check this show out. Also, want to give a shout out to everybody. And in Charlotte, we had a great time hosting.
That's right.
The supporters belt tournament. Yeah. We had a great time.
That was a blast.
There as well. So shout out to everybody.
Some of the supporters really didn't get talk to each other, make eye contact the next day based on their actions.
They also drew 0-0 to DC United the next day. So not a result that they wanted. Yeah. But we had a great time hosting there as well. So shout out to Charlotte FC and Ally for the invitation. Seriously, it was really, really fun. And we'll be back on Thursday. We have another big guest that you will be interested in. Also, especially if you're an NBA fan.
Ooh.
So make sure you check that out on Thursday. Tell your friends, tell the homies, tell the ladies, tell your side pieces. The Cooligans is out here.
Tell the Bodega Cat. Tell everybody.
The Bodega Cat. You know, they always be telling secrets. You know,
they know all the Bojangles, bro.
All right. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.